And welcome to Crippled System, episode 319. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm David.
Yeah, David had a family thingy.
He'll be here. He'll running late.
Yep, he'll be back.
He's being a driver.
Yep. Oh, man.
So I should have asked this before we started, but as far as announcements, it's a bad taste to announce the fact that Rush Limbaugh is going to die. Like, as a celebratory announcement? Should I not do that?
Probably not.
Okay, I won't then. We can continue.
I mean, you already have.
No. Yeah. I was asking a hypothetical. No part sure. of me just announced Rush Limbaugh's death as a celebratory announcement.
What's going on?
Lung cancer.
He's a big cigar smoker, but I'm sure that has nothing to do with it because smoking doesn't cause cancer. Because capitalism.
Fair enough.
This is an exact quote from him from 5 years ago. Like, not even like 90s Rush. This is 2015 Rush.
Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Man, I've had so many things that I've wanted to talk about today, and I forgot all of them.
What did you want to talk about a week ago today?
There's something.
I mean, we can talk about how Privateer Press has now completely fulfilled a Kickstarter, other than to, I think, Asian customers, because the boat decided to take a month detour before Steamforge shipped Dark Souls Wave 3.
I mean, wasn't War Machine Tactics already shipped before Dark Souls? Yeah, no, I
know. Potentially. I don't want to do that much math, but it's enough that I have to check.
Yeah. I think that.
And they got the new Kickstarter going, so that's a topical announcement.
Yeah,
Warcaster Chapter 2, Revenge of the Vehicles.
They got
the official title.
They got the vehicles, and they got the new fourth race.
Yeah. They're spoopies. Protoss.
All of mine are just sitting in a box still, so.
You already have the fourth faction?
No, I mean, like, all my original set that I got from Kickstarter is just sitting in a box still.
I assembled mine and put them in my replacement bag from Battle Foam because they ran out of the Guild Ball bags.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to run a website.
Yeah. I got two of those. I'm not too happy with them. I don't think I'm really going to be able to use them very well for my Shadow stuff.
I did. The top seemed far away from the foam, and so I have some shipping foam. I forgot that I tied my headphones to this drawer. I almost decapitated myself. Anyway, I had some extra foam, so I cut it up and made like a top sheet of foam to make it a little more packed.
I like how my shirt is black, and so on the screen here, you can just see
just see
my head, pretty much.
Yeah.
Dan, too. I
mean, you're just cosplaying as one of the new aliens, the Empyreans.
See, I thought he was the villain from Star Trek V.
No, I'm not God.
I thought the villain from Star Trek V was William Shatner.
Wah, wah. Yeah, Shatner's ego and or the studio.
I think it was more of the studio. I think that Star Trek V had, it was okay. It was not okay.
Star Trek V is really bad, but it's frustrating because it had good ideas.
Yeah. It's got probably like one of my favorite moments ever in a Star Trek series. Where Scotty says, "I know the ship like the back of my hand," and then immediately knocks himself out on a crossbeam.
It also has an unironically good dramatic moment when, you know, the crew's full cult mode and they're trying to get Kirk on board. And, you know, McCoy is like, you know, he can take away your pain. And Kirk has a great little mini rant about how he needs his pain. His pain is what you know, helps identify who he is as a person. And if you lose that, you lose a part of yourself. It's a good little scene. It's a corn nugget, undigested in a big log.
Yep.
But what would God need with a starship?
We could talk about something that I found out. I don't think anybody else really cares about it too much, but I don't pay attention to Reddit, and I probably should pay attention a little bit more to Reddit.
No, I maybe spend on average 25 hours a week on Reddit, you do not need to pay attention to Reddit.
Reddit's like Twitter, you know. On the one hand, worse. You have to be latched into it for things. On the other hand, it is just a cesspool.
Seems like it's probably a cleaner version of Twitter, at least. Maybe. Maybe less.
It's different. It's
cleaner than it was a decade ago when they just had like open child porn forums on there because it was all about free speech. Like, it is cleaner now. And I don't think Reddit has officially said we can't ban Nazis because then we'd have to ban Republicans and then not thought about what that means.
Close.
They shut down the Trump.
After 3.5 years.
Yeah, after but they, eventually.
After they threatened to shoot a cop.
Yeah, but you know, eventually.
Never mind the let's go drag all the queers signposts, but.
Yeah. Anyway, they're both terrible, but you are paying attention to this cesspool one day. It's kind of like if you have a septic tank, it's horrible, but you have to pay attention to it because it's important.
Yeah. So I generally listen to Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunter. And stuff there. And it turns out that I just happened to see this random YouTube video of like, so-and-so's explains the Ryan situation, which is one of the performers on Achievement Hunter. And I was like, what? Because I liked Ryan. Ryan was entertaining on the show. And it turns out that he's been basically for the last like 4 or 5 years has been completely abusing his power as a celebrity and as a member of Achievement Hunter to groom fans into having sex with them.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, I see where it's coming from, because plenty of fans offered to have sex with us, but we managed to turn them down.
Wait, you haven't seen my DMs. No.
I managed to turn them down. I don't know if you're pulling a Ryan, but
no, I don't think I have even remotely that ability to. But yeah, it just really sucks because, I mean, I don't know. He was one of my favorite personalities on the show, on a lot of the Achievement Hunter things. And basically it started off as like a leak that happened on 4chan, unfortunately, from my understanding, of nude pictures of him. And of the creative director over at Funhouse, which is another one of the Rooster Teeth affiliates.
I mean, this sentence continues to become more and more confusing to me.
Yeah. But it's just a lot of them, some of the pictures there were catfished out too from the people. They were pretending to be somebody that, you know, somebody they weren't. Because that's the meaning of catfishing. But it weirds me out that if you're in that position, why would you ever decide to send nudes of yourself to a random person on the internet if you are even remotely internet famous?
Yeah. That's just going to haunt you. Like, these things get saved. These things get kept. Even the people who have, like, conversations and just convince the fans to send them nude things, those conversations still exist. And a lot of times those fans turn out to be, like, 15 years old, you know, because these people don't have boundaries and they get more and more abusive with their power and with the grooming.
Yeah. I think there was only like one girl that said that she was 17 when she saw him, but at the same time, she did say that she was 18 when she saw him.
Yeah, I'm not trying to imply that particular aspect was true in his story. It's just a lot of times with these YouTubers and internet people who have this happen, that ends up being a part of it too, you know, like good old control delete.
Yeah.
Sending dick pictures to like 14-year-olds.
Yeah. That's not good. I mean, that happens.
It is not. Try to avoid doing that if possible.
Yeah. I mean, even in real life, avoid doing that in general. Just, I guess it's one thing to show it in person.
But still trying not to do that to a 14-year-old.
There was...
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a line, you know, like, I understand with fame and fortune comes groupies and whatnot. Like, I get that, but there's a weird thing... there's a point where you're leveraging your power versus it's just something that's happening. And it can be really difficult to find that line, which is why the more important thing to do is just to not do it at all. It's the same reason you try not to date people at work, you know, if there's any semblance of impropriety as far as rank, you know. Even if you think, oh, that's just a natural, we hit a friendship and things are going great, you know, I'm not quid pro quoing, like, it, you might not be judging it right.
Yeah, and it'll just rear its ugly head, you know. Once you get into a fight and then you're into that situation where, you know, your boss is, you know, somebody that you're seeing. Yeah, that's not good.
It's fine. Those never work out poorly.
I have a whole afternoon of shows that are dedicated to things like that. It's called Judge Judy, I mean, Judge Mathis, and the People's Court.
The only couple involved in a work relationship at the time when that happened for me. So,
yeah, like if you're going to have a work relationship or any relationship, right? The obvious first question is there going to be any awkwardness with this relationship? And if the answer is no, like there's not any awkwardness with this relationship going on, a lot of people stop there. You nearly need to ask the second question. Will there be awkwardness if this relationship ends?
Yes.
That's the part people don't think about. Because, you know, you stop having that dating relationship with that person at work, and now they hate your fucking guts. How do you work with them now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, like I said, now that company is going back and scrubbing out anything that was basically deemed inappropriate from that person, which is
like if he made jokes that might not have been jokes.
Might have actually been something that was there. I mean, they're not taking out all the content of him in it, but yeah, it. Like, and plus the guy he was married, had two kids.
Oh, sure.
And it's just fucking stupid. Like, there's a YouTuber for WoW. It was a streamer. Just recently he got doxxed, and it turns out he had a pretty horrible past, but at the same time he did his time. So like when he was like 21 or 22, so this is like 10 years ago.
Oh yeah, I heard about that guy.
Yeah, he had sex with a girl, and it turned out that when he thought it was 15, she was actually 13, and so he ended up going to prison for a couple of years.
How old was he?
He was 21. Or something like that. 2021.
Still not okay.
Exactly. The best part about it is when he was telling the officers and that he's like, "Well, I thought that she was 15." He was like, "No, she was 13." Okay. Like even then, it's still bad.
Like, why even just be like, "And like, what's your point?"
Yeah. Like, but in his situation, though, I feel. I mean, when is it that you would actually not really let something go, but understand that person has actually done his time? Because he went to prison for a while and then, you know, got married afterwards, and he's, you know, was just a streamer. Did he actually deserve to be canceled because of something wrong that he had done 10 years ago? It's just, I mean,
yeah, I understand your point entirely.
Yeah, I don't know if he tried to hide it, but it wasn't something that he was, you know, actively flaunting or anything like that, but yeah, it's one thing to abuse your community like the guy did over at Rooster Teeth, though.
Well, it's kind of like as far as the, you know, the what you're saying about, you know, the second person, not the Rooster Teeth guy, is I recently rewatched, I think, a woefully underappreciated film, which is Psycho 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Psycho 2 is a phenomenal movie with a really interesting core message. For anyone who's not familiar with Psycho 2, i.e. everyone on the planet, because nobody cares about Psycho 2. The general
terrible.
Psycho 2 is very much not terrible. In fact, neither is Psycho 3. All three of those, like, they're fine. Like, diminishing returns, sure. Like, the original Psycho is a phenomenal movie, one of the greatest horror films of all time, so nothing's going to be as good as that. But Psycho 2 is really interesting because it is Norman Bates getting, like, the film was made, like, you know, 20 years after Psycho, and the film takes place, like, 20 years after Psycho, and it's Norman Bates after being released. And he's, you know, he's cured and he's himself and his doesn't have the mom thing going on. And he's not a killer anymore. He's just a guy who had this in his past. And the whole plot of Psycho 2 is these people who are certain that he's going to relapse because he's Norman Bates. And, you know, once evil, always evil, gaslight the fuck out of him. And they try to drive him re-insane to break him, to prove that he would go re-insane and break, you know, thus with the self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's a really good movie, and I actually highly recommend it. It was almost my recommendation for the episode. But it's along those same lines. Like, who would want Norman Bates, you know, living with them and working at their diner? But on the other hand, he's not that Norman Bates anymore. That Norman Bates died somewhere in those 20 years of therapy in prison.
Yeah.
I'm not Nathan from a decade ago, you know? You're not Andy from 30 years ago. Like, those people are dead and gone. Like, I have more in common with the three of you than I do with me from a decade ago. And that's something that people need to kind of remember about the way that humans are.
Yep. But if they're being a shithead, they're a shithead.
Sure. We're also counterpoint, I've seen Andy's basement. I think Andy is pretty close to Andy from 30 years ago.
The best thing about Hero Quest. I'm sorry, I apologize. The best thing about Warhammer Quest
is that it's Warhammer Quest.
The random events.
I was going to say we've got the on the video here. We have Andy not in the garage, and it's freaking me. Or sorry, not in the basement, and it's freaking me out.
Last one I did. Last two I did up here, maybe. Last one I did up here. So yeah, yeah. No, sorry. Yeah, I think I finally fixed the audio. I hope it's working.
I mean, it sounds all right to us.
Yep. And hopefully the audio to the podcast sounds good too when I send it out. But yeah, welcome David to episode 319 of the Crippled System podcast.
Yep. It is now time for you to give us our Southern fact of the episode.
Yeah.
This was a fan request in the last episode that you missed, that they wanted you to do Southern facts every episode.
Yeah, if Nathan's able to talk about Gwent, then we should also get a random Southern fact about Southern.
I can talk about Gwent?
No. Just watch my camera just immediately turn off. I'll keep on recording the audio, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Southern fact. Southern fact.
Do you ever
vamp for me? I'll come up with a fact.
Well, we can do it later.
We're on Gwent.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about Gwent right now.
Last week of the journey, all the weekly, the last batch of weekly quests is out, and the storyline of the plot unfolded exactly as I expected it to, based on the first few things.
Lame.
Yeah, like in the journey, there's actually
I just don't care.
Yeah, that's fine.
I am keeping the fuck out of this game.
That's fine.
There's story, I don't care. There's images, I don't care. Half the time, I don't remember the card names.
So you're just net decking everything?
Yeah. Okay. And by net deck, I mean, hey, Brian, give me a deck.
Brian, yeah, that's net decking.
From a streamer to Brian to Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I fully admit, I do absolutely no work.
Fucking, not Gutting Slash, the other Skellige 4 damage conditional card, whatever. Them changing the provisions fucked like all my decks. Of course, it fucked everybody's decks. It would be like adjusting Iris's cost, right? Like, yeah. It's going to hit everything that people have. I had to downgrade my Gremis to a Peller, like a savage. But the plot for the journey, you know, it's Ciri having a campfire conversation with Grandpa Vesemir, and anyone who has finished Witcher 3 knows exactly where the conversation reveal is, or what the conversation reveal is.
Never played Witcher 3.
Super good.
That's what I heard, but you know,
I mean, I only dabbled in it. I only put in like 200 or 300 hours, which is almost nothing compared to a lot of people's Witcher 3 time.
I mean, I've already got a lot of time invested into WoW Classic, and Shadowlands is coming out soon. So yeah.
No. Witcher 3 remaster probably with the next generation consoles. Which would be phenomenal.
The Witcher 3 title screen, then you wake up in Skyrim.
I mean, What do you think about that, though? I mean, I guess we've been living in several generations, video game generations, of just rehashed games.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 is on its third console.
Yeah.
Skyrim legitimately was on Alexa.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean, this is a step above, because, I mean, the GTA games, I mean, you can say whether like 2 or 3 or 4 or Vice City or 5 are rehashes of each other. And we have gone one step deeper into lack of creativity inception, that now we're just making the same game on a new console. It was like when I was at Adepticon a couple of years ago, and I went to get snacks at the store and realized that one of the things that you can buy now is Mountain Dew flavored Mountain Dew. It's just like that Western civilization has had a pretty good run, but we're clearly out of ideas.
I think Mountain Dew started out as Mountain Dew flavored Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but there is a relatively new product that it's their pseudo energy drink that is Mountain Dew that says it is flavored to taste like Mountain Dew.
Oh, but it's the energy Mountain drink. Dew flavored. It's Mountain Dew flavored Mountain Dew energy drink.
Yeah, that's different.
Sure.
It would be like if Taco Bell had a burrito that was flavored to taste like a Taco Bell taco.
I mean, I would buy that.
Well, yeah, obviously. Taco Bell tacos are delicious. But if you want a burrito instead, you want it to taste like a taco.
I mean, they can just put the, like, a hard shell taco in the burrito.
I mean, isn't that just a crunch wrap?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are geniuses of adding together their like, 5 ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much Mexican food. It's wonderful.
I guess it makes sense for GTA to go over onto its third system. That still makes incredible amount of money for Rockstar.
Yeah, I would say at least GTA can get away with it because it's all microtransaction based. Like Skyrim, I just don't get because it's just Todd Howard asking for $60 over and over again, and people keep giving it to him.
The fact that it's coming out on new systems with the same bugs that it originally came on as well—that's just fucking stupid.
Yep.
Give us a remastered edition that actually fixes the issues.
Like, just steal the fan patch like they did in New Vegas.
Yeah, like the fans already fixed it for you. Just like, speaking of New Vegas, F4NV, the newest trailer for that dropped, and it was very exciting for me.
What is F4?
People are recreating the entirety of New Vegas in the Fallout 4 engine.
Okay.
And it looks really fucking good. The only weird glitch is, like, Bethesda's blessed it, weirdly enough. They're like, sure, knock yourself out. It's cool. This falls under all the rules for, like, fan modding. Except you can't use the voice clips from the original game. That's the one thing we're going to say no to. So they had to hire voice actors to re-record, like, the entire game. In addition to doing, like, the recoding. Like, this thing is more effort than Bethesda has ever put into a game. And it's to re-release the only third-person Fallout, or, you know, first-person Fallout game that wasn't Bethesda's in the first place.
Isn't there a fan-made Fallout game, too, that's coming up? Man, I can't remember the name of it, but it was
like the Miami one as well.
Yeah.
Fallout Miami, and plus Wasteland just came out.
And the other big fan one was the thing that linked Fallout 3 and New Vegas into a single game. I forget what it's called, like, Single Wasteland or something like that, but that's from, like, 7-8 years ago. It's amazing how much better everyone but Bethesda is at making Bethesda games.
the funny thing is...
I mean, I look at my mod list for Fallout 4 and Skyrim, and I'll agree with that.
Somebody in Captain Canada in chat had mentioned is Bethesda is now owned by Microsoft, as we all know, but now they're going to have to complete their game before releasing it.
Yeah. I got it. So with the Microsoft, now it's kind of like how the Marvel movies can have the Fantastic and the X-Men in them because Disney has absorbed enough of the planet that these are together again.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now, like, Microsoft owns the right studios to be able to do a Fallout New Vegas remaster, and people are getting excited about that.
And they also own a QA department.
It's the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah. They own Obsidian?
Yeah, they own Obsidian, they own Bethesda, and they own a QA department. So things are all looking good.
Yeah.
I mean,
Microsoft has basically infinite money, so it's not like they're ever again going to feel like they have to save the company by pushing Fallout 76 out the door.
I mean,
and
go ahead.
And Microsoft is going to insist on a higher standard of quality, because for whatever reputation Microsoft has for on the quality side, it is so much better than Bethesda's.
Or Obsidian. Yeah. New Vegas was awful on release, and that wasn't even the worst Obsidian game. Like, yeah, Coder 2 was functionally unplayable. Like, they shipped it without an ending.
Which game?
Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Oh, sure.
Like, the ending was broke.
Well, New Vegas also had issues, too.
New Vegas was them hamstrung like nobody's business by Bethesda. Bethesda's like, here, you can have this shoddy engine that we had to spend 5 years trying to make a game. You got 11 months. Go fuck yourself. Oh, you only got an 84 instead of an 85 out of Metacritic? Guess you don't get that money we promised you. Also, we're the people who released Fallout 76, so we don't get to talk about quality.
From my understand, it seems like it's a fun game now.
I'm sure it's a tolerable game now.
Yeah.
It only took, what, 2 years?
Yeah, yeah. Can't be as good as Marvel's Avengers.
Excuses for games like that are always like, you know, oh, it's fun if you do it with friends. And again, like, kids poke dead dogs with sticks and it's fun with their friends. Like, anything's fun with your friends.
We've all seen Stand By Me.
Yeah. Yeah. getting almost fucking murdered to look at a corpse for 5 minutes is an adventure with your friends. That doesn't mean that it's a finely polished experience that you deserve money for.
I mean, it worked out good for the fat kid.
That's true. That's true. Rebecca Romaine O'Connell.
So do we have any news or anything coming out recently?
Well, where's our Southern fact of the day?
Do I have to pick one? Because I've got a couple.
Let me do.
Seems distraught.
And recommendation rules. So
yeah. Well, do like Gwent style, where you do one now, and then in a later roll, you throw in the next one, all annoyed at you, and Andy rolls.
What?
I thought that was very clear.
Your voice kind of cut out in parts of it. Yeah,
your connection cut out.
Oh, no, it's like Gwent Talk, where you get one per episode, and then you do it, and then like a half hour later, you just sneak in a second one to Andy's chagrin.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have two Southern facts. One of them is that there's a weird thing in the South that you don't see in the North very often, and that's the concept of dry counties. That in most Southern states, most Southern states actually have outlawed alcohol, but several counties have, and in a lot of Southern states, it's about 50-50, whether you have a normal county or a dry county. And the traditional way to identify when one is entering a dry county is that there's a liquor store on both sides of the road at the county border. My second Southern fact is Mississippi.
You save it for like a half an hour, and then you slip it into the conversation naturally. Kind of like how right now I'm going to ask whether Dan thinks that the new Rage of the Sea is better or worse than the previous version of Rage of the Sea, because you get more damage ticks but fewer bodies.
Yeah, I think the new one is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same 12 points, but yeah, I think I like the new one better. Although with the three claws, the guy who boasts himself with beast, it's obviously not as good because I don't get a third harpy out there.
So for the second fact.
See, look at Andy. Now imagine if he was doing this to your Southern fact in the middle of an unrelated conversation a half hour.
I mean, you said a half hour, but you were listening to Gwent, and I completely lost track of time. Or you were talking about Gwent, so I completely lost track of time. So it might as well have been a half an hour.
Wisconsin.
Mississippi.
Half an hour?
Mississippi has a GDP per capita roughly the same as Italy, but almost three times the infant mortality rate.
Yeah, it turns out the South is terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe it needs to be burnt down again.
No, I did not. Somebody's asking in chat if I muted Nathan. No, I'm not muting Nathan. At least I'm trying not to. No, you're fine. Your audio is good. It just seems to cut out when you get in mid-rant. So.
Oh, no. Did you at least hear me say that we should burn down the South?
No.
You didn't hear me say that? I can repeat it. Maybe we should burn down the South again. I said maybe. I didn't say it's a good idea. I say we should discuss it. Because the last time we burnt down the South, it actually was for the best.
True, but this time maybe we start further up.
One of my father's friends when we lived in Kentucky was a speechwriter for JFK. And he had always said that Lincoln was the worst president we ever had because he had the opportunity to cut the South go and didn't take it.
That's true. It's like holding on to a bad axe. You're like, just let him go, man. You're better without him.
So Wisconsin used to have a dry county, and that was overturned in 2016, it looks like. Wisconsin's Door County Peninsula voted to end its 163-year ban on beer and wine sales.
No, I didn't realize there had been dry counties in Wisconsin in the past, like, 50 years.
Yeah.
What's that one random town where their liquor laws are different so they can sell alcohol after everybody else can't? And so people pilgrimage there?
It's one of the Milwaukee suburbs.
Because in Wisconsin, you can't sell alcohol after, like, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so they rush at, like, 8:57 to try to get your beer before they shut down. But there's, like, one little town where, for some reason, they're allowed to sell it, like, all the way till midnight or maybe even just all the time. And so, like, if it's 10 o'clock, people just, like, fuck it, we're driving an hour to this place to get us some new Glarus.
Yeah, that's the liquor leagues of or whatever council or something like that has that control to shut things down at 9 o'clock. Then you're forced to go to a bar and purchase your alcohol for like double the price.
And then drink it and then drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Tavern League is the literally the group that pushes that law.
Yeah. The Wisconsin tradition, drive home while drunk.
Hey, if you do it 5 or 6 times, it's eventually a crime.
Fair. Yeah.
Just remember, your first DUI in Wisconsin is just a traffic citation.
Jesus fucking Christ. Like, the fact that that's not a joke is so depressing.
Speaking of that, the Tavern League is also suing the state to overturn mask and restaurant occupancy limits.
Yep. And I think it just got overturned again. So they mandated a 25% capacity.
Yeah.
For any kind of sit down restaurant or bars and that, and then they are basically suing to overturn that, and then I think a judge just said
they shot deal counties with it. They found one, then a second one ruled against them.
Yeah, I mean, come on, just fucking common sense. Jesus, wear a mask.
But Andy, you don't understand. It's hunting season, and
even better because everyone is out in the forest, not spreading COVID to each other.
It's cold anyway. Just put a mask on for the sake of your nose not being cold.
Exactly. Also, ice fishing is going to be issues too. Everyone huddle up in a shack in COVID.
Yeah, but I mean, you're probably only, I mean, you already only huddle up in the shack with the people you're okay with killing each other anyways.
Yeah, like, that's true.
It's ice fishing. You have nothing else to do.
Yeah. You want to watch a good duck? Oh, I was going to say.
Documentary?
What? Yeah, you want to watch a good documentary on ice fishing? Just watch Grumpy Old Men.
None of this will matter because it's all going to go away in 2 weeks anyway, because COVID was made up entirely by Democrats to distract us from the election and to make Trump look bad.
I do have good news for you, Nathan. We're into a 1 in 200 chance that we're going to get hit by an asteroid on November 2nd.
Yay!
Unfortunately, the asteroid's roughly the size of your desk, so it won't matter.
Boo! Well, if it hits near my house, it might be a big enough impact to matter.
No, it's going
to
blow up.
It'll burn up before. It'll burn up before it gets to the surface.
What about that one asteroid that hit Siberia?
That was the Tunguska one. That was 40 some meters across.
Okay, this one's going to go burn up in the atmosphere, right? So this one's going to become a meteor then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
A meteoroid is when it's in space. Mm-hmm. A meteor is when it burns up in the atmosphere, and a meteorite is when it lands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Science.
So this is a meteoroid that's going to be a meteor, but not a meteorite.
Travis says that this one's 100 meters wide.
Mom's 100 meters wide. Boom! Joneses! I mean,
well, if it's 100 meters, then it'll at least be perfect.
I wouldn't say that about Travis's mom. The one in Tunguska was 100 meters. I knew it was coming. Oh, Travis said his mom is dead.
Yeah.
It's too bad you can't read the chat. Travis, he meant nothing by it. It was meant as just a...
Travis knows that. He keeps that counter in his back pocket for random yo mama jokes all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My
mother passed away about 10 years ago, and that's always a fantastic response to your mama is dead.
Yeah. I could do it about my dad. There's not really many your dad jokes.
Your dad... Well, there's just the, like, went out for cigarettes or whatever.
Oh. You know? My dad was a smoker.
Yeah,
I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I agree with Travis. This sucks. Oh, Travis, actually, he does have the power. He can actually just jump into the podcast. I didn't even think about that.
That's true. He could just like bash in anytime he wants to.
Yeah, time to ban him from the server.
Is he doing like the father, you know, driving thing where he's just threatening to turn around and hop in here? Oh, God.
There he is. Hey, Travis.
Oh, you're very soft.
His microphone's up by the top of his head because he doesn't know how to use technology.
He's a software tester.
He doesn't know how hardware works. He can program the microphone, but he doesn't know to just swing the arm down.
He's testing all permutations. Then he's going to take the headset off. Then he's going to put it back by his headset. Then he's going to unplug it.
No. Don't use the webcam mic. The webcam mic's terrible. Come on, be a professional. Use the headset one. All right, fair counterpoint. I guess not being able to hear you is a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put RTX voice in any microphone. Sounds good.
How much money do you get paid by those people? Jesus.
You need to share some of this.
This is a useful
podcast.
Yes, that's better. Yes. Come on. I am a researcher and I work in AI. And when you have one of the first applications of AI that actually benefits your life and isn't bringing about the end of Western civilization, it's something to be talked about, because that's most of the rest of AI that actually is used is for evil. So it's nice to have one thing of AI that is not evil.
Let's make the receive cellular phone calls with Boost Mobile.
I say he's also a PhD graduate in a pandemic. He's going to take every sponsorship deal he can get.
You're going to start like tattooing stuff on you, like those people.
I am up to 77 job applications as of today.
PokerStars.net.
Brought to you by Raid and Shadow Legend.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to put you on a topic if that's okay. Who all backed Forecaster stuff?
I did.
I did the first time.
First time.
I haven't yet. I got this. I got the Darkest Dungeon Kickstarter. I did not back the new Thing board game because I think every Thing board game has the same flaw in it, and I already have a print-and-play Thing board game, so if I ever want to play a flawed game based on a brilliant movie, I don't need to buy another one.
Oh, Thing board. I thought you were... When you said Thing board game, I didn't put two and two together. I was thinking something else.
Like about the Addams Family? Or about the Fantastic Four?
I'd like that crossover.
Yeah, I was going to say, what
all three?
What if that crossover existed?
Yeah.
That a rock work. Monster alien who's only a hand?
Yeah.
So the Thing's severed hand is battling a shapeshifter in Antarctica.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it also is the shapeshifter in Antarctica.
Well, that's the ending, right? Maybe the hand was...
Always
wrong.
Like it was trying to reconnect with its cousin, in quotes.
Yeah, like Clayface's hand in that one episode of Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Never seen it. Never seen Harley Quinn yet.
I mean, it's only really good.
I don't watch good things.
Yeah, Travis, I'm going to do the silver level of AC, because they're the ones I play, and I have to decide whether to add on anything. But because it's a pandemic and I never get to play the game, I don't know if I need a second nemesis or a second strike squad or, you know, whatever.
So from experience, as one of the few people that has played the new stuff, I think you really only need one or two of the nemesis. So an A and a B will get you just far enough. And then for the squads, the AC squad actually does something really neat, different than the rest of it, but I can't technically spoil what is coming out for the AC squad yet, because I almost did and then realized I didn't have approval to do so.
Just text Matt. It's fine. We'll wait.
Yeah, text Matt really quick. We can have a scoop. We can push people to the Kickstarter. I'll probably get a second squad and a second nemesis. Like you said, the A and the B. Although, like, it's not like there's an A and a B. There's, well, is it, are there two sculpts? You're just talking about the weapon line.
It's two sculpts.
So in this Kickstarter, you get the alternate nemesis, and that comes with a B pack of weapons. And the assumption that you can make is that the B pack of weapons will have an exclusive weapon for the heavy that is not in the Scourge B pack of weapons. People have noticed that there's one weapon for the
ISA.
ISA that's not already in the B packs, and there's a couple for marchers. Excel sheet I had a couple gaps on the bottom of both of them, so you could kind of make the assumption that there's one or two missing from each of them, or three. If they're all equal.
Also, if rakers are anything like razor bores, I'll order 30 of those.
You only technically need enough attachments for the number of squads you own.
Wait, that's an attachment? I thought it was a little solo, dude.
That's an attachment. Raker, so you just need 12.
Raker's an attachment. The solos, you need a max of 4 of. At this point, if you bought 3 or 4 marauders, you're going to have 7 by the time you're done, because you've got the original. You've got the female sculpt that has less flesh showing than the male sculpt. You've got the alternate female, and you probably have 2 or 3 originals that you bought.
Hooray. So,
but yeah.
I broke out my spreadsheet for what I need for my ISA and my AC, and does anyone want to buy a kidney? Because the original list, I think I was like $400 over my budget for this.
So
what'd you get for having 2 factions?
Hey, I have 4.
Yeah, but you're you. Also, yeah. I can't help but notice you're not currently texting Matt. Don't you want to feel like a big man and leak some information on a live podcast to drive people to the Kickstarter?
I think you should go to the Kickstarter because there's some cool stuff that we just proofed, and you should take a look at it when that comes out. But I am not going to interrupt their marketing plans when I am not part of said marketing plans at the moment and potentially risk everything on said plans. But the one thing that I think people should realize for the Kickstarter is to order enough attachments for how many units you plan on playing, because it is 1 attachment per unit. And I've, like, every time I've played with the Raker, every time I've played with the Aegis, every time I've played with the Warder, and the, I think it's the Aeromith, I think is the Imperium one. I've had 1 for every squad because there's no reason not to have 1 for every squad.
Yeah, they're free to include in your list. You can deploy them or not deploy them as you see fit. So there's zero reason to not have the option available to you in gameplay. Correct. The only reason not to have 1 per squad is because they cost money.
Correct. And if you're playing casual, you don't necessarily need 1 per squad. When one dies, you can put one aside. But I've normally had my attachment be the last model in the unit surviving, except for AC, because the Raker is actually really legit and gets murdered real fast, which is good.
Well, and that's when the rest of the squad just goes John Wick on them.
Correct, exactly. Like, once that Raker dies, everyone else is like, free rip, let's do this.
I want to be able to play this game.
Do you, have you not played a game yet, Andy?
No.
Oh, pandemic killed it, because I think we played, what, 1 game pre-pandemic with Josh, Nathan, Dan, and myself? Or at least we hung out once pre-pandemic?
Yeah, you and I were playing War Machine, and they were playing Warcaster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The last time I saw any Madison friends.
Miss you guys.
Yeah. Man. I had my favorite game pre-pandemic die during the pandemic, all because I was too competitive.
Yeah.
Good job ruining the game, fans of the game.
Yeah.
Specifically you, Andy. That's what you get for buying every model they ever produced.
I mean, it's not like they couldn't.
Clearly, That's how you ruin and kill games, is by caring too much about
them. Yeah. It's not like they couldn't have used this time to research and develop playtesting. So once the pandemic ended, they could have released season 5 and said, hey, by the way, this is when the game is complete. And nope.
Instead, cut it off and rip it down.
Yeah, I blame Brexit.
And cut the limb off as well.
Yeah.
No, see, I blame the European Union, which is why we need to have Brexit, is so that they stop killing games. As long as England is part of the European Union, games will die. This makes sense because mumble mumble.
All your friend games are dead.
I mean, it makes as much sense as any of their claims about what killed the game. Like, they could have just said, hey, this game was only a way for us to get big enough to be able to have perpetually running Kickstarters based on licenses. And now that we don't need it anymore, we're going to shift our focus of our company to exclusively FOMO-driven impulse buys. Just say that.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would have just said that. Yeah.
Like, everyone knows that's why you killed Guild Ball. Just admit that's why you killed Guild Ball.
Quick question from Gornus78. Gaming Buddies said, mentioned that Oz has left Privateer and has heard it on one of the other War Machine Hordes podcasts. Is this true, or have you heard anything about it? Yeah, as far as I know, Oz's last day was last Thursday?
October. No, it was actually before that. It was October. It was early in October.
It was the first Friday, I think, is when they usually do their... Yeah.
Oh, that's the best one, man.
Yeah, so, well, they do like a gaming day on first Friday, he's moved on. He's done a lot of good stuff through there. They helped design relaunch of the Monpok. He's had several board games through there. Gone through fairly decent numbers with those board games. This is all around an awesome dude. So I hope he does well in whatever venture he moves on to.
He hasn't stated yet, probably because he's probably still working on stuff that not as he can say, but yes, it is 100% true because, the Monpok errata was a thing that we strove to get out before his last day.
Before his announcement, sure.
Yeah, so we were fighting hard to get everything from the Monpok and like just get everything tied up. Because he was involved in nearly everything because he was the manager of the dev department. So he was interacting with Monpok, interacting with Riot Quest, interacting with Requiem.
So when does he announce that he's with Atomic Mass Games?
So you mean, so are you talking about
Atomic Mass Studios?
Because it's because both Steamforge and Atomic had a lot of ex-Privateer Press staffers for a while.
Yeah, that was the joke.
Well, Steamforged had more of just ex-War Machine players being part of it.
They had quite a few staff. No, like legit, a bunch of staff left Privateer to go to Steamforged. They had a Seattle office for Steamforged for quite a while. So that was a thing for a significant period of time.
Well, that game is dead.
Oz is going to do great things. Atomic Mass is doing great things with their game. Like, their game's kicking on all cylinders right now, especially if you like Marvel in all of its flavors. If you love effectively what is the MCU, but the comic version of it, or a hybrid between comic and video or movie, and then now X-Men, because they've got all of those. So their game is kicking butt right now on that market.
When they get Section 8.
I don't know what Section 8 is.
You know Nathan and you don't know what Section 8 is?
It's the greatest superhero squad ever, although it is DC, so they'd have to sign a lot of releases to get the licenses to Section 8.
So, like, that's never happening?
No, it's never happening, but I definitely do one. I would rather play Section 8 in a miniatures game than play the goddamn cosplaying Bazinga fuckers in a game.
Oh, like Night Miniatures? Yeah.
God. Fucking damn it.
I knew you would respond to that.
The Batman game has an actual squad of playable models that are based on the fucking Bazinga crew cosplaying as Avengers in an episode of shitty show.
They're not Avengers. They're Justice League.
Justice League. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't fucking care.
This is all your fault.
I want to kill like 30 people myself last.
It is amusing. I saw that and thought of Nathan immediately, and then said, "No, I'm never going to bring it up." But Nathan brought it up himself.
I mean, you're the better person. I full on dropped it in a group chat and tagged him and said that this is all your fault.
So, Nathan can't hear this, but David, Andy, and Dan, I have a Christmas gift that we should arrange for Nathan.
Oh. It can come out of the same fund as Andy's historicals. I'm sending him.
No, I'm not 50 yet. God damn it.
Four packs of the Big Bang Theory night models and just keep sending them to Nathan.
I'll keep sending rubble back to you.
Dan, you can't give me Napoleonics. I'm not that old yet.
What?
Look at your beard. You should be playing Napoleonics.
40-year-old version played Napoleonics.
I'm willing to troll Nathan for $70.
Damn it. Yeah, I'm not willing to troll for that either.
Yeah, it's like seven miniatures, right? Like, it's not going to be cheap.
That's too much effort to troll you.
You could just keep on sending them pictures of it. Just put stickers of them everywhere in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also not driving that far.
Well, we're going to mail them. We weren't going to know. There's no way I was going to go to Nathan. Like, if you're going to Nathan's house, there's a possibility of him chasing you down.
I did find a gun in the basement, so.
Is there something that we could do? So, you know, you have glitter bombs. Could you actually have, like, a sticker bomb that explodes and just throws stickers everywhere?
So I'm you're sure asking you for could. A paper cup bomb, right? That's what you're asking for? A flechette grenade?
Pretty much. But stickers. It was like, how did Nathan die? He got hit with a bunch of Big Bang Theory stickers.
Maybe, like, the puffy ones?
And yes.
As it explodes, it screams, "Bazinga!"
So yeah, that's the last thing that he hears?
The comic books freeze frame.
And we'll put
the last thing Nathan hears before he dies or goes deaf from it.
No jangles!
It'll be on your tombstone as well. Bazinga.
May he live and die by the bazinga.
I mean, I feel the better thing to put on Nathan's tombstone is didn't get a chance to piss on McConnell.
Oh, no.
Oh, he is for sure dying before
the only
us.
Thing, if I die, I'll have no regrets except for if that is true.
No, but that means that does mean if you die with that regret, it means you do come back as a ghost, which is beneficial then to haunt said asshole.
Here's something you could do. You could just pee into like a little Mountain Dew, you know, 16-ounce thing, and then save that for, you know, just put a note on it that says, if I die, pour on Mitch McConnell's grave.
Literally set up a will, like, hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
I'm
serious, though. I think you could legitimately make... You could legitimately make a lot of money by storing urine to later deposit on Mitch McConnell's grave.
My goodness, like, that's an enterprise. Like, you could make thousands.
Yeah,
have the house space to do so.
If you don't think you're gonna make it, or if you don't have the ability to drive there, it's like Uber, right? Or Good Eats. It's like, it's delivering food to you. I will deliver your excrement and urine.
I got a 40-gallon. Like, I have a 40-gallon garbage pail of dog shit in the backyard. Can we drop that off too?
Dude, we're gonna need like a honey wagon to get enough to collect enough to take to that thing. It's gonna be like a cement mixer just dumping it.
I got the best business name for you, Nathan, for this.
Please don't use the word honey wagon with that.
Nathan, your business name for doing this should just be called Take a Piss.
Yeah.
Like,
piss make.
The issue is now, we've already talked about it, it's alive on the internet, thus it has to exist by someone else's hand.
That's fine. I'm perfectly fine being the brainchild of that. Just, you know, cause it to exist and start a movement. Oh,
see,
start a movement.
Nice fun.
A new class in entrepreneurship would be of some use.
Reminds me of the time back in the 90s when Conan O'Brien was interviewing somebody. He just randomly made up the website hornymanatee.com, like, as part of a joke. And then after the episode, the lawyers for the channel are like, we have to buy that domain now, because once you mention a domain on the show, you need to own it so you have control over it. Otherwise, people are going to go there and see terrible things. And so he's like, well, now we own this domain, so we're going to use the thing. And they just had, like, people in manatee costumes doing, like, camhorn style stuff, like, leaning down, like, dressed as French maids and everything. It was the most amazing bit. He did it for months. He would just check in on hornymanatee.com. It was just, like, sexy dancing manatee mascots. 90s Conan was a gift to this world.
I'm impressed with you, Nathan. I never watched 90s Conan. I better watch him now.
Well, I mean, now is not a gift. Now he's old and nobody cares. Well, the only good part about him now is when he plays the Vidya games. And he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, and it's
that,
funny.
That is really funny. When he's with the developer, and the developer's like, what the hell's wrong with you?
But the characters he had in 90s, like, the just weird fucking recurring character, like Pimpbot. Like, before Bender was a thing, they had Pimpbot with a nose full of candy and an ass made by Tandy. It's amazing. The masturbating bear. How did he have that on network television? It was just a dude in a bear costume and a diaper that came out and just went to town on his genitals, just violently, like they owed him money, just fucking going whole hog on this just sagging giant diaper while it played the just slapping away at his crotch. What the fuck? How did he have that?
Nathan, now he just works for CNN.
Now he's a senior correspondent for CNN.
Did you guys see what happened with the New Yorker?
The same guy.
Well, that was the same guy? Okay, fine, sorry. Man,
so what happened?
Apparently he was pretending to
Zoom
be the
call.
Election simulation and maybe took the role a little too seriously.
He had a 10-minute break with nothing to do and internet access.
And forgot to turn his camera and mic off.
Yeah.
Well, he leaned the camera, he leaned it down just perfectly that it was aiming at his crotch because he didn't lean it down enough to shut it off. It's like, even if he just kept it up, they'd just see his O face. Now it just was this straight crotch shot.
Yeah.
So I accomplished my goal of coming onto the channel into the middle of a podcast. I'm going to vacate. So
that's fine. Guys.
Yeah, by the way, would have been the perfect spot for a Southern fact, but somebody fucked it.
Did you know that the University of Mississippi's campus speed limit is 18 miles per hour? Because that's the number on the jersey of quarterback Archie Manning.
Why would they? Why?
Because it's Mississippi.
You've hurt me. You've actively hurt me through the internet with that fact.
Yeah.
Did you know that the digits 6, 7, 8, and 9 are not used on any collegiate basketball team's jerseys?
Which ones?
6, 7, 8, and 9 are not used on any collegiate jerseys for NCAA basketball for any team in the entire nation.
Correct. And the reason... Yes, yeah, there
the
is reason,
reason is
that.
Is that the refs have to hold up hands to gesticulate who they did a foul on, and they only have 5 fingers on the hand.
Yeah.
There's no reason to make it so the refs have to hold up hands to say the number. They can just fucking say the number. But for some reason, there's a rule that says they have to also hold up the hands. And so because of that, they can't use 6, 7, 8, or 9 for either tens or ones place of any player in the entire league.
Well, could they include 6, but like have maybe 6 and 7 and have their one eye closed for 6 and both eyes closed for 7?
What if it was a six-finger man?
Yeah, I was going to say, they could do 6 as the ones place, but only if Count Rugen was reffing the game.
No.
He could also have it flipped, like if you were 6 fingers on both hands.
Nobody has 6 fingers on both hands. Don't be absurd. Get the fuck out of my podcast.
This is your podcast. This is Andy's.
I just run the audio. That's pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you do have the important part of this, which is you're the only person who knows how to record. We discovered this last week.
Everyone is showing up. Yeah, I apologize for last week. I don't remember what I was doing. I was not here.
Trust you me, were like the whole day, like a whole day of Andy just not on the internet. It was really weird.
At first, we're like, okay, Andy isn't responding to Facebook. It's fine. Then we looked, and it was like, Andy's not playing. Wow. And Andy's on Discord.
Whoa. Like, hold on. You've just, like, that's the only way. If Andy came to me and sent me a text, I will know Andy is in life or death danger. And he says, I canceled my WoW account. That is the one way I will 100% know that Andy has been kidnapped and is under duress.
It's the code name.
Have you seen the new like 6 month subscription like bonus you get? So you know the fairy dragons, Brightwing, Heroes of the Storm. So you have a costume that's a Brightwing costume that you could put on your characters as a bonus for subscribing to them for 6 months. Looks really ridiculous on a Tauren. So
that would be the point.
Yeah.
Especially like a Tauren Death Knight in that outfit.
Yeah.
That feels really
It's so adorable.
Andy, also, since this also came up last week, can you confirm or deny that buying a second copy of Shadowlands gets you extra pets?
No. Well, I haven't bought an extra copy of Shadowlands yet. I might
see,
for my second.
A very pregnant word.
Because the first edition, the collectors of the base game gave you free pets.
Yeah, I don't have that, and I can't buy it.
Is there a way for you to get the pet off someone else's account?
If you haven't converted that character over to when Cataclysm or Pandaria was released, where you actually have the pet in your inventory, that'd be the only way.
I have the collector's edition,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I have not played before. Like I quit in WoW Lich or Wrath of Lich King.
It's possible if you have the collector's of pet in your inventory, I think you can transfer it over, but it's a rare occurrence.
Oh, because I would love to give you the pets if I could.
Yeah, I got to talk to Brian to see if I can get his account.
I haven't played WoW in forever. I'm not going back.
On a side note, I did look to see, because I bought 6 months subscription because I needed that stupid suit. I looked to see when my subscription expires.
Because it keeps adding on every time you buy more.
It keeps adding on. I don't know how, but somehow my renewal date is in June.
Of?
2022? 2023? 2022. I was going to say, yeah. It's not 2021 because you went to pregnant pause that. It was 2021. It had to have been longer.
I've only bought one other 6 month subscription. That was in August. So I don't know what happened. I must have some other credit in there from something else. But yeah.
Do you have any people on playing that you have refer a friend bonuses for?
I have one second account that has a refer a friend bonus, which I've already got most of the stuff for that. But that's only like gives like free months. So. Yeah, I don't know where that extra year came from.
That reminds me of when there was a game on my Steam wish list that I finally caved in and decided I was going to buy it because it was on sale for like 10% off, whatever. I'm like, I'm going to buy this game. And then I went to buy it and it wouldn't let me buy the game. And I'm like, why the fuck won't you let me buy the game? And it was because I already owned it. And I was like, oh, somebody must have gifted me this game, but I don't remember who gifted me this game. So I searched through my email records to find out that, of course, I had purchased the game.
I could have told this whole story just off the start of it because it's obvious that it was you bought the game. And you forgot about it, and you tried to buy it again.
I've done that before, too.
Can I jump two things quick before I hop out? Because I do really need to leave, and I really want to say two things. One, Forecaster, because it's awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
And two, Hades. Freaking amazing. Play it a long time. It is fan-freaking-tastic.
Well, it's Supergiant, and everything Supergiant has ever done has been fan-freaking-fantastic. When your worst game is Bastion or Transistor, you're an amazing company.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to being done, in quotes, but the done, in quotes, is farm for the rest of existence to get enough gems, darkness, and mats to get the superficial, like, grid outline things or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't played Pyre yet, you should play Pyre. It's super good.
Is that also from Supergiant?
Yeah. They have four total games. They have Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, and Hades. And Pyre is like the super amazing one. Like it's like pseudo, like it's almost like basketball, but it's like fantasy and you like go around, you like do fireballs and shit. But it's the really cool mechanic is that it is like you play your game, the game's over, win or lose. Like the plot is moving on. You can have a losing team. You don't just lose the game, right? But there's a greater meta game is that as you improve these people, in your team, you eventually like send them up out of this netherworld that you're in, up into heaven, and then you lose them like as a player. And the choice of when to do this for people's storylines, because you have to be doing, you have to be sending up enough people to keep that going as well. It's a great like meta narrative within another narrative, and the whole thing is based on storytelling, and it's super, super good. And of course, a great soundtrack, great narrator, and fun gameplay, and the art style.
So all the things that made Hades amazing.
All the things that makes all four of their games amazing are the same things. Their music, their art style, the narration, the gameplay loops, they're a phenomenal company.
Yeah. Like, every time I've spoken about Hades, like, I had a company presentation that they're like, hey, do you want to talk about something? I was like, hey, you should play this game, Hades. And I went into the spiel that you just said, and they're like, why aren't you in sale? I'm like, because the game's amazing. Just play the game.
Also, the only bad thing about Hades is that it is indicative of how terrible our planet is, which is that there is an achievement for petting Cerberus, specifically, I believe, the left head. It's the one head that likes being petted, and only like 10% of players have the achievement. What the fuck is wrong with 90% of Hades players that they don't have that achievement? Pet the goddamn doggo.
The dog, Cerberus, is a good boy. Is three good boys.
I mean, achievements are weird. Like, 40% of people who have played Subnautica haven't gotten the achievement that you get from literally opening the very first thing you can click on.
Well, sure, yeah. That I can believe. You want to look at the average playtime of your Steam library sometime, and then see how many games are at, like, 0% or 0.01%, because, like, you turned them on because you bought them, because, of course, the Steam Summer Sale made you vomit money at games that you're never going to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But my whole Total Warhammer is one of those. I have all the Total Warhammer, which I know I would enjoy and love, but I haven't loaded that up at all. I got
If I just played through my Steam library, I wouldn't have to buy another game for 1,000 years.
So stop spending money, Nathan, and play your damn games.
Yeah. No. I mean, these other games I want are on sale.
Yeah. Play your damn games.
You need to.
Okay, but. I mean, this other game's on sale.
The same argument exists for me painting my own models. Like, why am I buying new models when I have models to paint already? Yeah.
That's the story of every single gamer ever.
Yeah,
exactly. Hobbyist ever for like, games.
Completely hypocritical on that. Yeah, buy new games, Nathan, because capitalism. Duh. Your whole existence is here to buy stuff.
That's true.
Kitty cat.
The brief jump blast of endorphin with the conspicuous consumption are the only thing that keep me going. That's Ushi. He's the house cow.
House cow cat.
I have to come cow visit cat. Nathan now. There's a cat there now.
There's three cats.
What?
There's one that's built like a basketball. One that's like very, very fluffy, like Fizzgig style. And then one that looks like a cow.
So are you ever going to just Dr. Claw them by having the cat in your lap all the time?
Here, I can get Georgie.
If I was upstairs, there would be a cat in my lap right now.
My cat is currently on bed rest because I had surgery last week.
Oh.
He's doing fine, and the biopsy came back clean, but he had to be bed rested for 2 weeks, which means he's chilling out in our spare dog crate, and he's really pissed about this at this point.
You get a Georgie Costava. No kitty, you get a monkey-faced pupper.
Does he have a forged passport?
He does. And in fact, the background image on my computer is that passport.
All right, friends, I have to go do some work, so have fun. Thank you for letting me interrupt your podcast. I miss all of you.
Thank you. It's not like we had a choice.
You could have banned me from it. Somebody jumped in, you'd
be
like, no.
He would have made you a mod?
Yep, I would have made you a moderator and admin. That's how I roll.
The channel is mine. Oh, it was a pleasure. I miss you guys. So I am excited for the day when we get to all hang out in person and not feel like we're going to kill everyone else in the world or nearby to us.
Yeah. Meet you at Gastown or the Bullet Farm.
No, we're going to Hoo-Hots.
I was making an apocalypse reference.
Hoo-Hot might have like survived the apocalypse.
I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
I still like every once in a while I'm there and I just have to think like, you know, the Mongols, not a fun kishy thing to base a restaurant on. Like I know they were really, really long ago, but
who's a good Mongol band?
Yeah,
Mongolia.
Like Mongolia now is fine, but like Genghis Khan specific like Mongol horde, not happy fun times.
Well, you know what the kids club is over at Huhat, right? It's Khan's Kids. that's the name of their kids program over at
there is a superior intellect.
it's such a horror. When I saw it, I'm like,
hi Travis. Mm,
that seems not appropriate.
Hi friends.
Later, Travis. Hey. Yeah, Khan's Kids is most definitely not appropriate at all for a restaurant child. Club.
Yeah, because there was no shortage of them.
Like, I mean, it's a step up from when people just used to take their kids to Hooters. So,
yeah,
you don't like owls?
Yeah, I like owls.
You're not an animal lover. What's your problem with owls? Obviously, oh, the theme of the restaurant.
I like almonds. Do you like almonds?
You like almonds? I like almonds. We should hang out.
Almonds.
All right. We ready for the Zappity Grumbles?
Yeah. We should be good. Dan, do you have the...
I do have them.
Holy cow. I'm trying to figure out... Sorry.
You're that amazed that Dan had them?
You're on the ball. Much more on the ball than I am. Who didn't show up to podcast last week. I was sick last week. I was sick Monday and Tuesday.
That happens.
Yeah.
There's those spicy chicken nuggets.
Those are not good. Those are
surprisingly mediocre.
They're not that spicy. Like, they're okay, but that's just because chicken nuggets are okay. And you can just get the buffalo sauce with regular chicken nuggets, and it's $2 cheaper. So, yeah. Life hacked.
Yeah, my tummy did not like those.
Is War Table the new normal? Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, we probably only got another year and a half of pandemic left.
Yay!
Me, personally, I don't like playing... Because it's basically a video game. It's still, you're moving things. You're not getting that real social interaction with somebody.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't played it, so I guess I don't know, but...
It's hard just because, like, the Warcaster equivalent is Tabletop Simulator, but I find that if I'm going to put that much effort into doing, like, a four-hour game with someone, like, I have better digital options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of my that's kind of my situation with it. Is that honestly, if I'm going to sit down and do something with other people, it's probably that's digital. It's probably going to be WoW.
Yeah. It's like with Blood Bowl. Like playing tabletop Blood Bowl is one thing. Playing over, Blood Bowl 2 online is a completely different thing. You know, you don't have that social interaction. I feel that's such a necessary part of those type of games.
Yep. yeah. Keep the cat handy, Nathan. Zappity.
Grumble.
Problem is, I grabbed the cat and I put him on my lap, and then all the dogs came into the room because they all love the cat, but the cat doesn't want to be involved with, a German Shepherd. So then the cat got a little pointy, so it all had to go up on the desk.
Fair enough. All right. Next question. With new Blood Bowl coming out soon in the hype building, what's your favorite Gwent deck?
Zappity.
I have been playing Nilfgaard no unit deck and doing terrible with it. But it's still the deck I have the most fun playing right now, because since I got to pro rank, I don't need to give a shit anymore. So I'm fine just losing a fuckload of games with my Cadaverin deck. Probably the best deck that I'm actually playing is still the Crow deck from last season.
Yeah, and the Scoia'tael devotion deck that Brian net decked for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Has gotten me 6 levels so far. So
yeah. Yeah, Lionheart Symbiosis deck. I'm actually tempted to make a Harmony deck. I don't see anybody running that new Harmony leader. And Harmony with the undoing of the nerf.
I was playing that early, at the beginning of the month. So.
The mechanic was oppressive for like a full year. They nerfed it. It died. They rewound the nerf and nobody's playing it. It's like to where it was.
Except they fixed the double water thing, which was the actual problem.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yep. Zappity.
Oh, thank God.
Grumble.
Have you ever tried Early Access Gloomhaven on Steam? Thoughts?
I have not, but I've heard nothing but good things.
I've heard it's on Steam.
I've heard nothing but good things about the tabletop simulator mod. Is that what they mean, or is it an actual Gloomhaven game specifically?
There was
a Gloomhaven game standalone.
The mod for tabletop simulators was supposed to be fucking phenomenal. Which, with that in mind, why would you bother playing the Steam one?
If it's official.
First party, I guess. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Zappity.
Rumble.
Will this also be broadcast on Zoom?
Mm-mm.
No.
This will be broadcast on Zoom. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I was so terrified when you panned the camera down to show the dog and the cat. Yeah. We were going to see Nathan's tree.
This is one of the first podcasts I haven't masturbated during, and that's including the ones at your house. I'm sneaky like that.
The verb now is Tubin.
Yeah.
It's Tubin? What?
That's the guy's name.
Oh, fair enough.
Poor guy. Also, Nathan, it really wasn't that sneaky.
Well, you're just very astute. Andy never noticed.
Andy was on the other side of the table from you.
Fair point.
Zappity.
Grumble.
How hungry for a convention are you? If only one could happen in 2021, which one would you want it to be?
The America's Team Championship.
Yeah, that's one. I would go for Adepticon. I want Adepticon back.
I mean, since they're theoretically being co-located, yeah. But if I had to pick one or the other, it would be the ATC.
Oh, thank you, David.
As somebody who has to bust his balls running the ATC, I vote Adepticon.
Yeah, why I said Adepticon, because I knew if Adepticon happens, then the ATC will happen.
No.
Oh, no?
No. I mean, it would happen, but it would be meaningless, kind of. I mean, obviously, it'd be the event in its own right, but do remember that I have ideas and plans and thoughts that I have to talk to people about, but the important thing that's the thrust of what I was trying to say is that the team for America that would go to the WTC will not be defined by the ATC at Adepticon. It'll be the team that won the ATC last year. So for that particular purpose, this next ATC would not be
the
topical.
Same. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But obviously it could still be its own great event. And I have thoughts on that can maybe go another way, but I have to send some emails and talk to some people. I was just holding off because, you know, apocalypse.
Yeah. I would say, and even if we can have domestic conventions next year, I really don't think international travel is going to be a big thing for another year yet.
Yeah.
I mean, for a proper cure to happen or proper...
I mean, first, America has to regain trust in the world for people to let it back in.
I was going to say the big issue right now is that at the next WTC, is the American team going to be able to enter whatever country the WTC is in? I mean, that question is only about 12% snark, because legitimately, is this going to be something that happens?
Yep. Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. Assuming you are drunk, half naked, and watching a movie by yourself, what is the best pandemic depression snack food?
Man, French onion dip is delicious.
It is. It is my Ruffles. I use Ruffles to deliver French onion dip to my mouth.
Doritos. You use Doritos for your French onion delivery method. It doesn't sound good, but trust me, try it. It is fantastic.
First wife ate Doritos with cottage cheese. She would scoop cottage cheese.
Now that sounds gross.
Doritos.
Fortunately, you divorced her, right?
She divorced me. We both agreed she was too good for me. Despite her love of Doritos and cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. Hey, when I was younger, my go-to snack when I went to like 7-Eleven was Funyuns with easy cheese on them.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hey, it's surprisingly good.
No, they aren't.
Have you ever had Funyuns with easy cheese on them?
Both of those are disgusting.
But together... they're doubly disgusting, but I don't care. I was fat, and fuck you.
Did you see the picture that we posted?
The Funyun juice?
The Funyun juice. Just
that also contributed to last week's do we need to have a wellness check on Andy? He posted that and then went dark for 8 hours.
What tell me I feel funny. For food, I don't know.
I know I had a whole bag of tortilla chips for breakfast, so that's where I'm at.
I'd just say some variant of the bread that is available via Domino's because they have no contact delivery and it is addictingly good. Whether it's the stuffed bread or the garlic knots or the Parmesan knots.
Domino's is legit since they changed their crust a few years back.
Yeah, yeah, they're
they revamped the hell out of themselves.
Yeah, especially their pan pizza crust is really good.
I don't know. I had way too much teaser. Domino's in college, yeah. Made by guys on way too much weed. I can never go back.
That Domino's. I mean, at that point, Domino's was terrible. It was terrible in general. But they actually decided, you know, as a strategy for being a pizza place, making good pizza, they determined that was a legitimate strategy and switched to that. So yeah, the output of their food has gotten a lot better. I mean,
very well.
Nathan is correct that it is still not Little Caesars, although for Little Caesars you have to do the Detroit style everything. All yeah, of their pizza is trash. Yep. Yeah, but the square pizzas are excellent.
Little Caesars is good for its price. I mean, it's the best pizza you can buy for its dollar amount.
Yeah,
so good.
If you doubled the price of Little Caesars, I still might think it's worth it. Like just like, you know,
for double the price, I would definitely not eat the round ones, but I would pay more for the square ones.
Yeah, because yes. Their lunch things are like, you know, like maybe a 50% increase, like maybe doubles more than it, but like fucking A, their Italian cheesy bread, and even like their non-pizza stuff, like they've got legitimately good hot wings. Why do they have legitimately good hot wings?
Yeah, you talk about the lunch thing. The lunch special is four slices of square pizza and a soda for $5, and it's like, yeah, it's like this.
I mean,
is
or just eat an entire zesty cheeseburger.
Yeah, that too.
I'm fat and I've accepted this.
Do you guys want me to clip this out and see if we can get a Little Caesars as a sponsor? Because I mean, we're singing praises. I mean, crazy bread. I can eat that stuff cold.
Also, yes. Yeah, stuffed crazy bread is also
crazy
great.
Bread.
Is that what stuffed crazy bread is?
Basically, yeah. Oh my god, it's just so like everybody has garlic bread, and obviously garlic bread's amazing. And then Little Caesars now has bread-based stuff. But to say fuck it, bread with a gallon of butter and a shitload of Parmesan cheese, like that's
and
it.
And undercooked, and that is the—I mean, that is the key. That it has to be that it has to be undercooked, and that's what makes it the crazy bread, and just. Masterpiece.
I would say my pandemic food that I've been getting on a regular basis now has been Pizza Hut's pasta.
Sure.
Their white pasta there is just
the white pasta the is
chicken,
very good.
Chicken something Alfredo. I don't even know. Just give me white pasta. I like it.
Alfredo sauce.
Just make sure you enunciate that clearly.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to clip it and send it to people.
Yeah, you're not a member of Pantera. I just meant that white pasta sauce made me powerful.
Yeah. Fuck. Idiot.
Jesus Christ. Like, who are you fooling, buddy?
Absolutely.
I'm talking about the power that white wine gives me.
Yeah.
That's why I was shouting white power on stage. Like, fucking Jesus. Yeah.
Alternatively, just blame your heroin addiction.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. If you guys want to
said crazy shit, my bad.
You want to read some crazy shit? Go read about Phil Anselmo's excuse for yelling "white power" at Dimebag Darrell's anniversary show.
Just blame your addiction. It worked for Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Speaking of Mel Gibson, that movie looks amazing.
The Fat Man.
Yep, Fat Man looks awesome. I can't wait to see Fat Man.
It looks like a parody movie out of Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
That's an actual film that was made and is coming out. The plot of it,
by an Academy Award winning director.
Academy Award winning director with Mel Gibson and fucking A. Jesus Christ, the guy from Justified.
Timothy Oliphant? Oh, no, it's Boyd Crowder. It's Blake Crowder. I can't think of his name. This is great content.
Goggins, Walt Goggins. My brain kept going to Zach Baggins, but he fights fake ghosts. what the fuck's going on with this movie? Like, it's John Wick against Santa Claus. Who writes that story? And why? And why does it look good?
It's about as crazy as that Hubie.
It's not going to be good, but
it's
the trailer looks good. If it's bad, it's going to be the biggest trailer quality drop since Suicide Squad.
Or Suicide Squad 2.
No. The one that already came out. The trailer for that had fucking Bohemian Rhapsody was a really good trailer.
Yeah, it was.
And that movie was really
like
all
bad. 3 minutes of the good parts of Suicide Squad?
No, because most of the trailer wasn't even in the movie. So they
took enough.
3 minutes, made a trailer, and then cut 2 minutes of those 3 minutes out of the film.
Fair enough. All right, Zappity.
Rare.
Early spoilers, full rulebook, etc. of Blood Bowl 2020 suggests the winning games were nerfed while negative play experiences were not. Why are dwarves such dirty cheating bastards in every game? GW, PP, Gwent, etc.
Thing is, though, dwarves are an amazing starting team, and that's focusing on the starting team. Eventually, other teams will outperform them. They just have a ton of skills to start off with, and they're tough.
Yeah, well, I think their point was is that the negative play experience of dwarves just pounding you into the dirt and you don't even get to actually play the game is still a core mechanic.
Yeah.
Like the games where all of my rats would just lay on the ground and my entire turn consisted of saying, no, that's okay, it's your turn again. And my opponents are like, aren't you going to stand any of them up? And I'm like, why? So that you can maybe cripple them? I'm perfectly happy just having them all take a nap. If you want to foul one, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
You can just have a touchdown 8 rounds from now. I know I already lost 2-1.
I mean, there's...
Because we're 1-1 and my guys are all unconscious.
Yeah. No, there's... I mean, there's so much talk and so many people there trying to fix, you know, stalling and basically the negative play experiences. And it's difficult to do underneath that rule set. It's something that you might almost have to come up with, like, a brand new rule set for Blood Bowl to be able to handle that.
Maybe switch it to soccer or rugby instead.
Yeah.
I mean, the core mechanic of the game with having possessions like that and having rounds that you can run down, like, without a shot clock... Like, maybe there needs to be, like, almost like a basketball shot clock where if you don't get a touchdown within X number of rounds...
I mean, they...
It's hard to do with dwarves, then.
I don't know, but, like, without
downs.
Something...
Yeah.
Without something
like, it's already
huge like
American
that.
Football. Just have downs.
But it's
just
weird American football, soccer, rugby amalgamation.
Well, yeah. Bad British game designers take on American football.
Yep. Yeah. And so without something huge like introducing downs or something, you're never going to be able to take those negative play experiences out of it.
Yeah.
Because if it's 1-1 and you have the ball on the last row and your opponent's shit is all unconscious and there's like five turns left, there is zero reason for you to score because that just gives them 4 rounds to tie it. The
well, not only that, are you actively
grind
risking,
it down.
Risking things by moving?
Yeah, exactly. Like, even just throwing blocks and stuff, like, you're risking stuff. Fuck it. You might as well just stay in that corner. And that's the problem, is when the right thing to do is the least fun thing to do, there's something fundamentally broken within your game mechanic. And for Blood Bowl, GW's response to that is just don't play that way. And, you know, for some people, that's a fine response. I mean, it is. I mean, if you just don't play that way, it's fine.
Or, I mean... As we said earlier, you could just turn the game into soccer and then yell at the players for being too good at it and cancel it.
Correct. The other thing you can do is say, don't play that way. And when people do play that way, you cancel your game forever.
Just don't play them. Yeah, you cancel the game. Yeah. For all the people stalling. Yeah.
Oh, well. As long as I get to play as Nerf. And or rats. See, that is the problem, is I chose rats as my random first team in Blood Bowl just because I like rats in real life, and it turns out that I was an asshole playing a broken winning team. So then I chose Nurgle as my bad team because I smell like filth and...
I mean, I traditionally play either rats or chaos because apparently I am drawn to NPEs.
I have all the teams. So I have a problem.
I mean, I was trying to play a friendly game as a fairly leveled chaos team against somebody playing halflings, and I literally killed five halflings in the first half accidentally. I mean, literally three of those, the halflings died on the other guy's turn. And it was just like, sorry.
It happens.
But yeah.
I mean, that's
the negative play experiences are just they're baked into the core rules, and you just have to not play that way.
Yep.
Or just not play with people who do, and it's impossible for them to get rid of that shit without just changing the fundamental core game design.
Yeah. So so the take home here is don't play with any of us.
No,
I'd be fine as long as I know that's what we're doing, right? If you're going to be an asshole about it, if you're going to play that way, I'll play that way. If you're not going to play that way, I won't play that way. You just have to know your opponent.
Yeah.
So just don't play with David and I.
Sure. Yeah. Fair.
Like, you know, I think we have it on that way. I ruined game. I mean, Guild Ball, so.
Yeah. They called you out in the press release. They said you specifically.
Poor Guild Ball.
Alrighty. Well, I'm going to jump to the head of the recommendation line because I have to go do bedtime. Horizon. So, back to work after Kickstarter. It's good.
All right. I'm going to jump to the second because I also have to do bedtime related stuff.
So much you had to start in the middle of Dan's sentence.
He was done.
That's not based on the fact that noises were still coming out of his face.
Wah 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 wah.
I mean, the general thrust of his recommendation had been brought across, so it's possible his follow-up sentence was vestigial and useless, and you did us all a favor by eliminating it, but we'll never know at this point.
I'm not repeating it.
Okay. Deep Rock Galactic on Steam. Check it out. It is a cooperative shooter game where you are dwarves and you mine shit in space.
Oh, is it to put on Mitch McConnell's grave?
I mean, if you're into role playing, sure.
I think I've seen that.
I recommend the album Mouth Dream. It is an album by musician/comedian Neil Cicerega. It is a trip. It's all mashups with beautiful, like, interesting hidden meanings and stuff in them, but they're also like weird and terrible, but also hypnotically good. Like, there's a song that's a mashup of Hoobastank, Johnny Cash, and Justin Bieber. There's another song that has Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, Limp Bizkit's Nookie, and the Seinfeld theme, and Mario shouting to Nookie from Mario Kart 8. And then that one transitions into the Ewok celebration from Return of the Jedi, the original Nyun-Nub version. Like, it's all just fucking insanity, but somehow he makes it work into, like, legitimately good music to listen to. And there's a lot of really cool, like, little messages, like hidden references. Like, one of my favorites is that there's a song called Ribs that has a Marilyn Manson sample in it, and then the very next song is called My Mouth. And so anyone who was a kid in the 90s and knows certain rumors about Marilyn Manson will understand why that's fucking hilarious. But I recommend checking it out. It's like free online, or you can give them money. He doesn't really give a shit. It's on SoundHound. It's on his website for free, or you can just throw some money at him because that's how things are.
Sweet. My recommendation is to not sleeve all of your Shadows of Brimstone or sort your Shadows of Brimstone at once. Because I spent like the last week sleeving and sorting out my Shadows of Brimstone collection. Turns out I have everything I have a lot of Shadows of Brimstone. Also, it's also very
8x4 table of it.
Yep. It's also very sad too, because I really want to play it, but I can't play it because that involves live people coming over to my place. And we have, you know, actually the state of Wisconsin recommending people canceling Thanksgiving, which is probably a good thing.
I mean, it's an election year. That's just like good suggestions anyways.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention the song that's Johnny Cash's Hurt mashed up with Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Johnny Cash's Hurt is an amazing song.
It sure is. I sure did cry at the end of Logan.
Or you just watching the video. Watch the video sometime. It's with him and his wife June. Oh, it's fucking it's sad.
Trent Reznor wrote a very nice Johnny Cash song.
That's true. That's true. Or Trent Reznor did a mediocre cover of a Johnny Cash song and somehow shot it into the past.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind
of
cool, though.
Trent Reznor would agree with all of this.
Yeah.
He has said more graphically descriptive ways of it.
Yeah.
My favorite description from Reznor of it was that it's like seeing your ex-girlfriend with a new guy.
And being like, she's better off with him. Like, he just pulls up on his motorcycle and like draws away and is like, yeah, she's better off.
All right. So that pretty much concludes episode 319 of the Crippled System Podcast. We thank everyone for watching, and we'll have this, hopefully have this out in audio form fairly soon.
Also, that Prime? We never discussed
Just thinking about that because I didn't bother to check it, and I was trying to figure it out before we ended.
I don't know.
It is 11 it is times 29.
Yeah, 11 times 29 indeed, because 330.
All right.
Yep, it is a bi-prime or semi-prime because it is the product of two non-necessary distinct prime numbers.
I don't know what makes
a prime number non-necessary. That seems rude, but that's what this website claims.
All right. Talk to everybody soon.
Bye.
Manon.
All right, stop streaming.